Dear Christian friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On Christmas Eve, we can spend a lot of time looking backwards. Especially as we get older, we start remembering Christmas the way it used to be, and all the things that we did when we were younger. And we begin thinking about the people around the table whom we might miss. And then in the middle of all that, the church reads its gospel of how Christ was born 2,000 years ago, lying in a manger at Bethlehem. If you weren't careful, you might think that Christmas is just a sentimental journey into history. But the truth is that Christmas is really about the future. As we read in Revelation, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, the first and the last. As he comes in the beginning, so will he come again at the end. And so what we see at Bethlehem not only comforts us with the promise that God has come to abide in our flesh, but it also teaches us what to expect in the future. Just as Jesus came to Bethlehem and made his home there, so may you expect Jesus to come again and dwell on earth, a new earth that he makes new by his presence. He was born of a woman, flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, and so may you expect him to come again in the same flesh that he raised from the dead, and you will see the marks of crucifixion in his arms and his feet and his side. The angels proclaimed him that night, and so will they announce him when the new day dawns. He made his home where the animals lived. So will the animal kingdom obey his rule, the lion lying down with the lamb. And just as the shepherds ran to adore him, crowding that stable, so may you expect Jesus to come and gather a great host of believers to praise him once more. In short, Christmas teaches us that what we now experience in the church, the whole world will experience in the future. Already, Jesus dwells among his church, gathering his creation to eat and to drink with him for eternal life. That's really all the church is. Jesus beginning now what he has promised in his resurrection, to gather that new creation, to rejoice in it, to feast in it. That life of worship is the future. It is why we worship, so that we may keep in step with the future. But why should we suppose that this future is any good? Why should we care about the future Jesus has promised to bring? Well, look at those shepherds who ran to adore him. Why did they do so? Those shepherds must have thought that something good was happening. And what was it? What good is the coming of Jesus? What good is it for you? The shepherds show us the way. They did not yet know about Jesus dying and rising. They did not think about something called heaven or even the forgiveness of sins. All of that was to come. But all the shepherds heard was this simple message from the angels. To you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For those shepherds, that message would have meant one thing: a new king and a new government was on its way. As we read in Isaiah 9, so the shepherds believed. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. A new government with freedom and with joy. That's why the shepherds ran. They didn't run for the forgiveness of their sins. They didn't run because they thought they were going to go to heaven. They ran for a new government, and they raced to see this king who was going to establish universal peace and joy. Is that why the coming of Jesus is good? Because he establishes a new government? Some might wonder. Look at the world today. Governments fail and cheat their people across the globe, and wars continue to soak the earth with blood. Making fun of our government is almost a hobby these days, and one of the ways that we distract ourselves from our own sins. So did the shepherds run in vain? Not at all. Our Lord has indeed established a new government, of which the church is the first expression, and that government will become universal when he comes again. For consider what must happen for a truly new government to happen. A truly new government requires a radical change, a strike at the root of things, a strike at the root of the problem, at the root of the nation's rage. And what is the root of the nation's rage? What makes countries war, and what prompts men to steal and to cheat and lie? Well, there's only one answer. It's the shadow of death, the shadow of death. Because mankind fears its own death and the devil is all too happy to haunt us with it, mankind grabs for life, even fights and kills for life, steals for life, cheats others for life. So when Jesus, our King, came to earth, he had bigger fish to fry than taxes and Social Security and immigration. He did not even come to run out the Romans and free Israel. Jesus came to take the axe of his Holy Spirit and cut down death itself, stripping the devil of his greatest tool. Here is our Lord's new government, the resurrection of his body from the grave, the same little body that was born in Bethlehem, and the same body that he now gives you to eat and to drink. For by raising his body to life, conquering the grave, and now giving that body to you so that you may be members of the resurrection, God has begun to give mankind as a gift what mankind tries to earn through war and crime. He has turned cheating and stealing and war into foolishness, because now real life, the life that conquers the grave, is simply being given to people free of charge as a gift. And if God is handing out life to people, putting it in their hands, feeding them with it, well, then he must not be angry at them anymore. Sins must be forgiven. See how it works? We in our sin think that the best government will come through votes and rebellion and our own little plans and plots. But true government comes when life comes freely. And that only happens in Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary. For once his life comes to you as a gift, there's no reason to war and to argue and to cheat and steal, no reason to lie or even to hold grudges. There's only reason to be free, as God is free, and to give life to others as he's given life so freely to you. As the church does so, preaching its gospel and giving its Lord away, through the sacraments and through acts of charity and self-sacrifice, by taking the path of kindness, generosity, forgiveness, and peace, a new government is being witnessed. It is the government that no one can see for now, but that they will see, when the resurrection of Jesus becomes the resurrection of the world. And in that new creation, started at Bethlehem, we will all say, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.